Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. How do you react when your oncologist tells you that you only have 3 to 4 weeks left to live due to cancer? When Keith Taggart received this news, his head was reeling with thoughts about his past, regrets, things he'd wished he'd done, and what he'd need to do to get his affairs in order. Then, everything changed when his doctor conducted genomic testing on his tumors and found a clinical trial for him to enroll in. In this episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast, Taggart describes his cancer journey and how it will soon be 5 years since he started the clinical trial that saved his life. So to start off, could you just tell me a little bit about how you came to receive your cancer diagnosis?
Sure. Well, I had noticed a small lump in my cheek, about the size of a pea. And so I went to see my general practitioner about it, and he didn't really know what it was, but suggested that I have it extracted. So I went to an oral surgeon, basically, for the extraction, who sent it off for biopsy. He didn't think it would be anything either. And he very experienced, he said, in 42 years, I've only had my biopsy come back positive once. So told me not to worry about it. But that's how he came across it. You know, a couple of weeks later, he called me. And that's when I found out that I had cancer.
Got it. And so did you have any symptoms or pain with that?
No, not really. It was just the one little tumor, like I said, the size of a pea, that was removed, and it wasn't anything painful, and it was right there in his office. What happened after that, though, was he referred me to an oncologist, a surgeon, in fact, that went into, and then that's when things became more painful. They went in to do more surgery to take what they call a margin of safety to make sure that any cancerous tissue might be removed. And they also set me up at that time for some really heavy duty radiation to my upper chest and head. So I went through about 6 or 7 weeks of radiation every day. So that's when, you know, things really started getting into gear. After my surgeries, I would come back and just by the time I had a follow-up appointment, there were more tumors. So the cancer was really aggressive. And this went on for probably 2 years. In fact, I transferred from the Oklahoma City Hospital to MD Anderson in Houston because it was so aggressive. And same thing happened there. They put me on another round of radiation in Houston. And then also I had more surgeries there. And altogether, I had about 14 surgeries, just one right after the other. The cancer also moved from my saliva glands into my lymph nodes. So the surgeries became more intrusive. They went into my shoulders and my arms, my chest. And ultimately, my surgeon in Houston, I had had a really a major surgery and went back for follow-up, and there were tumors already just after a few weeks. And so he said, we're going to need to do a full body scan, which I hadn't had for probably 6 months. But the results of that body scan showed that I had tumors throughout my lymphatic system, my lungs, my liver, and my kidneys. So it had really progressed. And that's when the surgeon said, we've got to go a different direction. You know, I can't keep up with it with surgery. And the radiation didn't help. So he referred me over to another doctor that worked with chemotherapy. And she's the one that told me I had about 3 or 4 weeks to live. That was a big surprise to me. You know, I didn't even realize that it had progressed throughout my whole body like it had. So there were symptoms that I had, but it had been so gradual in the making that I guess I wasn't aware of the extent of the tumors. So the symptoms that I had were I had a lot of fatigue. I was sick. I was vomiting daily. I had all kinds of issues along those lines. And it didn't even occur to me that the cancer was the cause for all that. But anyway, what happened was she was going to set me up for chemotherapy, and then which we were going to start about a week later. But she remembered that there were some emails that she had been receiving from a clinical trial administrator all these e-blasts to all the doctors at MD Anderson that they had this clinical trial for this amazing new drug for a particular type of cancer caused by genomic fusion. Now, my new doctor that I'd been referred to had reviewed my medical history, and the most recent tests that had been done on the biopsy tissue and the full body scans and everything reflected that I had an NTRK NTRK genomic fusion. And she thought that I might be a good candidate for this clinical trial. So we gave it a shot, and they did some more tissue samples and found out I was a match. And I was accepted to the clinical trial, and I started the clinical trial for the new drug the very same day I was supposed to start chemotherapy. So I elected not to start the chemotherapy and just went with this new drug, Vitrakvi, a simple pill. So I take it once in the morning and once at night, just, you know, twice a day. And it was amazing. At that time, when I started the clinical trial, I could feel the tumors in my chest and my face and my neck. I could feel them with my fingers. But after 3 or 4 days, I couldn't feel the tumors anymore. And at the end of the first 4 weeks in the clinical trial, they did full body scans again, and all of my tumors were gone, except one, which had shrunk by 65%. So that was amazing, you know, what in just a matter of 4 weeks, I went from thinking I was going to be dead by the end of the month, you know, to now I have a whole new lease on life. So it was pretty incredible. Now, I continued in the clinical trial, and that, by the way, was almost 5 years ago. This coming January will be my 5-year anniversary in the clinical trial. I'm still in the clinical trial. I go to Houston every 4 weeks, and they, you know, they give me full body scans every quarter. I get a physical every 4 weeks when I go. And in that 5 years, I have not had a new tumor since, the entire time. And by the way, that one tumor that had shrunk by 65%, it's completely gone. So my scans don't show any cancer or any tumors whatsoever at this point. So that's quite an incredible thing that's happened to me. I'm very grateful and humbled by it all.
So just for clarity's sake, what was your official diagnosis?
It was called acinic cell carcinoma. And then my medical history really shows about 7 or 8 different types of cancer. And I'm not sure if when it metastasized, if there were other diagnoses or whatever. But like I said, not being medical myself, and I'm not really one to research my diagnosis myself either. I trust the doctors and listen to what they say.
So you kind of touched on it, but I wanted to ask a little bit because, you know, I'm sure your thought process through all of that must have been, you know, changing constantly and a lot to process. So can you talk about how, like, shifting from all of the surgeries to finding out you have 3 to 4 weeks to live and then starting a new treatment, like how you felt about that and, you know, any kind of anxiety about it being a new treatment?
Sure. And from the beginning, I felt very practical about the cancer, and I felt like when tumors would arise, we would just simply have a surgery to cut them out. You know, that's the way that it was for the first couple of years. And to me, that was going to be the way it was until the tumor stopped, just stopped on their own. So I really wasn't that worried or concerned about it. I didn't feel like it was life-threatening. I just felt like it was an issue that I had to deal with. And the pain wasn't that extreme from what I considered to be minor surgery, you know. So anyway, that's kind of the way that I felt in my head. In fact, when at one point I felt almost guilty because I was surrounded by people that I thought were worse off than me. You know, there were people that had a lot worse symptoms than I did. So I felt very grateful to have what I considered a cancer that was not life-threatening. But so when I found out that it had metastasized, that I found out all at once that it had metastasized and that I only had 3 or 4 weeks left to live, it was really ground shaking to me. And I, at the time, I was staying with a family of friends that I have in Houston in an apartment. And I went back to the apartment by myself. And I remember feeling like I was falling into a deep pit, and just the kinds of things that come to your mind when you find out something like that. It's just amazing. I was surprised by my thoughts, things from my past that I never thought I would think of again. It wasn't, you know, my life flashing before my eyes or anything like that. There were regrets that I had and things that I wish I had done differently. And then also realizing I didn't have much time and what I needed to get to take care of things and make sure I had everything in order so that I wouldn't be a burden to my family at the time of my death, you know, all those kinds of things. But at the same time, the same day that I was told I had 3 to 4 weeks to live, just a few hours later, I found out that there was a clinical trial that I might be able to get into for a new drug that was very, very hopeful. So all of a sudden, I'm the kind of person that's very optimistic. So when I got the phone call about the clinical trial, I immediately just sort of tossed everything else to the side and started thinking how wonderful it would be to get in this clinical trial. And that became my new focus. So, you know, then we went through a week of more testing and scans and that sort of stuff. And every day I kept thinking, this is going to work. You know, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So I only felt like I was in the abyss for a few hours, you know. And from the very first day, the doctors that I had and the administrators of the clinical trial were very optimistic. And they had indicated, you know, the success of the drug with a few other patients. Now, I was only number 6, is what I was told, the 6th patient to have this drug. So there wasn't a lot of history to go by, you know, and it was new science and new, you know, something that had just been discovered in the past few years. So, of course, the science was way over my head. I'm a real estate attorney, and I have no idea what they're talking about when they talk about the tests and the drugs and the genomic theories and all that stuff. But anyway, then after I started the clinical trial and felt immediate success, I've been very positive since then.
So what do you think people should know more about genomic testing?
The thing is, the treatment that I've had is wonderful for me, because if you think about the traditional treatments for cancer, they're geared towards killing the cancer, and they kill other tissue in the process, like radiation. You know, they want to kill the cancers, they want to kill the tumors, but they also kill good tissue with radiation. Same thing with chemotherapy. It's poison, you know, and so it's, with surgery, it's to cut out tissue. This drug keeps tumors from ever starting in the first place. And for me, there are no side effects. I've been able to work throughout this whole period and live a very normal life, and I feel good and healthy. All of those symptoms that I had with my cancer and my tumors, those symptoms are gone. So all that's very good. But for me to have known about this treatment, I have to know that the treatment will work for me. And the only way to know that is through testing. So the genomic testing is critical to know whether or not this kind of treatment is going to work for you. So that's what's key behind it. Now, the advice that I have for patients is one thing that I found, because I get calls from a lot of patients, you know, that want to know what they should do. And if you don't have a doctor that's familiar with this, then you have to be your own advocate. And, you know, you can fill out the forms for your own testing. But what I've found is that the doctors have to sign off on these forms. So it's really the medical community needs to get on board with this science and the technology and the treatments. And that's where I feel, just from my conversations with other patients, that we're lagging a little bit. And that's understandable because it's so new, but it's all up to the doctors. I think that if you have a doctor that's not willing to check things like this out, then I think maybe you need to get another doctor. That's my personal opinion. Because if I didn't know about this. And if my doctors had not done this for me, it wouldn't have been done. So that's, I think, my advice. It's all up to your doctor. You know, talk to your doctor about this. And if they're willing to explore it, that's great. And if not, then maybe get a second opinion.
How would you say that your outlook on life has changed, you know, from before cancer into now?
Well, I think that I appreciate all the time that I have. I appreciate every day. I appreciate every minute. I find that it's going faster and faster. And it's kind of, you know, you don't want it to slip through your fingers. But at the same time, I find that I'm living my life as I normally would. It's just a different outlook. You know, like I've often wondered, you know, am I going to want to take a trip around the world, or am I going to want to, do I want to buy a boat? You know, do I want a sports car? What do I want to do my last few days? That's not what happened at all for me. I found that I wanted to live my normal life with my family and my friends and the work that I do. And I just have a different feeling about it all, that I appreciate it all so much more. You know, we take a lot for granted. I did. I took a lot for granted before this happened, but I don't think I'd do so much anymore. Once in a while, I'll find out, you know, I'll feel like maybe I am. But life is very special. And it's another thing, too, that's funny. It's not just my life, but other life. You know, I appreciate other people and other animals and other things with a completely different outlook.
So kind of on a similar note, what is the biggest thing you learned about yourself, or even, you know, maybe your loved ones?
I think the thing that I've learned is that, and I mentioned earlier, you know, I wondered about things that I should have done a different way, or did I have regrets and things like that. And what I found out is that it really doesn't matter so much. Don't sweat the small stuff. You know, you've heard that before, but to me, that has new meaning. I think that if I had gone a different path, if I had done things differently, I would probably still be the same person, still be the same life, and have the same feelings. So I'm not too worried about things that I should have done or didn't do, because I'm still who I am anyway. And I, no matter if I'm here or if I'm someplace else, I just got back from a wonderful trip to Boston, a beautiful city. And it, you know, it'd be a great place to live, but I am who I am, where I am, whether it's here or there, you know? So you learn to be happy with what you've got.
So aside from the genomic testing, what advice would you give to, you know, someone who may have just been told that they have a few weeks or months to live?
Hang in there. You know, it's terrifying when you get that news, and you really do, the falling in the abyss is the right way to put it. That's the real feeling. You fall into this and you just feel like reaching out and grabbing onto anything that can help you. And the thing is, just hang in there. I believe that there's always hope, maybe not hope for longevity, but there's hope for quality and hope for understanding and hope for content, you know, and satisfaction. That can be a decade or it can be 10 minutes, you know, but it's achieving that. And you will. I think people that have this experience, from the people that I've spoken with, a lot of them have the very same sort of process. You know, it's the thoughts that you go through and where you end up emotionally and spiritually. It's really, I feel lucky. I feel lucky to have had that chance. You know, if not, I would be in a totally different place right now, I'm sure. But it's been a great experience for me. Again, the importance is the testing. If you are a candidate for something like Vitrakvi, there's a lot of new, from what I have heard from my doctor, there's a lot of new science with cancer. And they're finding out that a lot of cancer is individual. What causes cancer for one person is going to be different for another. And they're finding through this genomic testing, it's my Vitrakvi drug is good for me. But there may be other drugs based on your genomic test. So that's what I would stress is probably the most important takeaway, is the genomic testing is so important.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.